B.O.B. The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour Radio Show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, here to give you the news for the past week. And I waited as long as I could to record this show, but as of this time, Kavanaugh has still not been definitively confirmed. Everybody thinks he's going to get in, but he's not there just yet. So I'm going to talk about a couple of other stories. Here's a recent story. This just happened yesterday. Man charged after toxic letters sent to Trump and other leaders. This is from the Associated Press. Now, you might be thinking, well, people are sending toxic letters to Trump all the time. Yes, but the word toxic nowadays has kind of a different meaning than it used to. And this story is talking about the classic meaning of the word toxic. They don't mean toxic as in toxic words, toxic language. They mean actually toxic as in poisonous. This guy sent a letter with ricin. And you make ricin, apparently. Should I even be telling everybody this? With something called, by grounding up castor beans. So this guy, I guess I shouldn't say his name because he wants notoriety. And we don't want to promote anybody. We don't want to encourage anybody to do this stuff by giving him fame. So we're just going to call him an idiot. So this idiot, how old is this guy? He's 39 years old. He told investigators he wanted the letter to send a message, though he did not elaborate. FBI investigators said that they zeroed in on the idiot after finding his return address on at least two of the envelopes, according to the complaint. So this guy sends poisonous letters out to leaders of the world, including Donald Trump, and then puts his return address on it. Obviously, this guy just wanted the fame. The envelopes that tested positive for ricin also had a note that said, quote, Jack and the missile bean stock powder. I don't even know what that means. U.S. Attorney John Huber declined to comment on the idiot's mental state, but said the case is no laughing matter. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I guess it's funny in hindsight, actually. When you're dealing with suspected ricin, this is nothing to trifle with. Thanks, lawyer. During a court hearing on Friday, the idiot cried as he told a judge that his wife suffers from a spinal condition and he helps her put her shoes on in the morning. He did not enter a plea, and his attorney, Lynn Donaldson, did not immediately return an email message seeking comment, I'm sure. The idiot could face up to life in prison if convicted on the biological toxin charge, one of five counts in the complaint. He's also charged with four counts of making threats through the mail, which carry 10-year sentences. So this guy's really in it deep, huh? The envelopes, which were mailed to the president, FBI Director Christopher Wray, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, and the Navy's top officer, Admiral John Richardson, were intercepted, and no one was hurt. The FBI said all of the letters tested positive for ricin. The idiot told police he also sent similar letters to Queen Elizabeth II, Russian President Vladimir Putin, and the Secretary of the Air Force, though it's not clear whether those envelopes or ones matching their description have been found. Oh my goodness, so they could still be out there. The case is expected to go before a grand jury, and the idiot could face additional charges at a hearing set for October 18th. He's arrested on Wednesday, and he told investigators he had purchased castor beans on eBay in case World War III broke out so he could defend our nation. He is being held on a $25,000 cash-only bond. Though U.S. Magistrate Judge Dustin Peed, that's his name, is expected to review that on October 15th. $25,000 seems kind of low. But I'm sure Mr. Peed will bump that up. Peed. You know, you're a magistrate, can't you? I mean, you can easily change your name, right? U.S. Magistrate Dustin Peed. That sounds more like a statement than a name, doesn't it? Dustin Peed. But it's a man's name. You know, what can you do? He has to carry on the Peed legacy. Could you imagine if one of those letters got through to a world leader and this moron actually ends up killing one of them? I mean, that would be amazing. It's a dose of purified rice and powder the size of a few grains of table salt can kill an adult human. Think about that. That's insane, dude. This castor plant, where that ricin comes from, is used in castor oil. It says here, commercially available cold-pressed castor oil is not toxic to humans in normal doses, either internally or externally. Well, hey, you know, I'm not taking that chance. Now that I know what I know, I'm staying away. But it says it's fine here. It says that it can be extracted using a fairly complicated process similar to that used for extracting cyanide from almonds. There's cyanide in almonds. This is a worse news day. Now I can't eat almonds. Yeah, well, I'm going down the rabbit hole here. I mean, look at this. I'm on this page here. Common poisonous plants and plant parts. Did you know you can't eat daffodils? Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea may be fatal. That's amazing. Elephant ear, all parts. Can't eat it. There's castor bean right there. What else can I not eat that I've been looking forward to eating? Rhubarb. I can't eat rhubarb? Large amounts of raw or cooked leaves can cause convulsions, coma, followed rapidly by death. Well, that ain't cool. I used to love rhubarb pie, but now I can't eat that either. Oh, my goodness. Jasmine. Fatal. This is amazing. Oaks? You can't eat oaks? Foliage, acorns, deadly. How? Don't chipmunks eat those? Elderberries. I've always wanted to smell those. Water hemlock. Well, I mean, we knew about that. This one, here's one you can't eat. Poison hemlock. Why can't they just all put the name poison in front of all of these plants so you know that you're not supposed to eat them? We shouldn't be calling them daffodils. We should be calling them poison daffodils. We shouldn't be calling it rhubarb. We should be calling it poison rhubarb. But, you know, that probably would drop the sales of it, right? Would you like some poison rhubarb pie? All right, let's get on to another story. Fox News, NBC station fires reporter for wearing MAGA hat while covering Trump rally. Amy Liu is the reporter here. A television reporter in southern Minnesota might need a new hat saying, "Make me employed again." Now that just sounds like gloating. You shouldn't. Why would you lead off with a dummy headline like that? James Bunner, a multimedia journalist for NBC affiliate KTTC-TV in Austin, was fired Friday, reportedly for wearing a Make American Great Again hat. Make American Great Again hat. That's not correct. While covering President Trump's rally in Rochester on Thursday. I feel like I've been all over the country with this story. Hang on. So this is being reported. A television reporter in southern Minnesota was covering a story for a TV channel in Austin while at a rally in Rochester. Well, I mean, I don't think that people who are working for the news channels should be showing their bias one way or the other. So I'm kind of okay with it. Although I'm surprised that NBC didn't take the opportunity to say that the reason he was wearing the hat was to protect himself from the crowds. So, you know, by wearing the hat, he would like blend in and be one of them. And that's the reason that he was wearing the hat. So missed opportunity there for NBC. But, you know, as long as they're consistent. So, I mean, if one of the reporters is covering a rally for Hillary Clinton and has a with her shirt on, then will they fire her also? Well, let's be honest, probably not. All right, let's see. So Kavanaugh, still waiting on him, has not yet been confirmed. All right, well, let's keep on going then. Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Senator of Alaska, Republican. A picture came out of Dianne Feinstein, kind of, just hovering over her, looking very intimidating. You know, you don't realize when you see a picture of these people, you see that they're you know, kind of older. And Dianne Feinstein has got a hand up on the wall. Murkowski is in a doorway or something. I don't know. And Feinstein is just looming over her. It's crazy, dude. Now, in the picture, Feinstein, who, you know, when you look at her head on, she looks older. She doesn't look like she could hurt anybody. But in this picture, she just looks like a cartoon, man. She just looks like she's about to pound Murkowski with her fist. I mean, I don't know. For all I know, Feinstein is just trying to hold herself up. But Feinstein, if you remember, of course, is the Democrat who started this whole thing. She was sitting on a letter from Blasey Ford for all this time, Christine Blasey Ford, for all this time, and then comes out at the last second to stop Kavanaugh from getting appointed to the Supreme Court. Well, I guess she's going around trying to get liberal Republicans over to the Democrat side. I mean, the Republicans hold a majority, but by what, 1-2 seats? It's a very, very thin majority. So if she can get all the Democrats and a couple of Republicans to come over, that nomination is sunk. So I sure wish I could hear what is being said in this picture. If you have a chance, go look it up. Just type in, you know, Feinstein, Murkowski, and you'll see this great picture of negotiations being done in the halls there. So what else is going on here? Oh, well, of course, Marussia. Russiagate continues. Fox News is reporting that Mueller is seized Manafort's Trump Tower pad. So, you know, this guy's trying to get Trump, and he can't get him after all this time. And so he's gotten Manafort to flip. Manafort has pleaded guilty to, money laundering. And I don't know, a couple of other things. It's so funny. But those charges will be dropped if Manafort will cooperate with Mueller's investigation. So that's kind of funny. So you've got the man for money laundering, but you'll let him go if he turns against Trump. Okay. Well, you know, again, I really don't think there's anything to get Trump on. You might be able to get a couple of people to turn over and then get him for something else. Or maybe, you know, if you get enough people to say, yeah, he definitely did it, we can have a Christine Ford situation, you know, where it's he said, she said, and because there's more he's than she's, although I wouldn't call Trump a she, but then maybe they can get Trump in trouble. We'll see what happens with that. But I'm telling you, whatever they get him on, it's not going to be Russian collusion. That's crazy, man. Just insane. Speaking of Christine, you know, I'm calling her Christine Ford this week because I read, I think it was on The Hill somewhere, that when she testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, she called herself Christine Ford. She didn't call herself Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. And I think the reason is because this story might be true. She's not actually a doctor of anything, according to the state of California's records. So, you know, she wouldn't want to misrepresent herself in front of Congress like that. Who did start calling her that? If she didn't call herself that, who began calling her doctor? Interesting, very interesting. You know, the narratives that we are given and that we accept without question sometimes. Let's go ahead. Why don't we go to our favorite Yahoo here and let's see what they've got for us. Live coverage, yes, I understand there. I did have a mental breakdown at 22. I mean, is this worthy of a story for the week? I did have a mental breakdown at 22. Keira Knightley recalls mental breakdown at 22. Says she was diagnosed with PTSD. I didn't know she served. PTSD, what was this for? Diagnosed with PTSD. Well, I mean, I guess you don't have to serve to have PTSD. Well, let's see what she says here. After 2002's Bend It, like Beckham, the teenage actress was catapulted to stardom with the first film of the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, launching the following year and then starring in the beloved movie Love Actually. So she had a string of good movies. She says that run was insane. But, you know, people from the outside are like, whoa, hit after hit, you know. But from the inside, all you're hearing is a criticism, really. And also, I was aware that I didn't know what I was doing, you know. I didn't know my trade. I didn't know my craft. I knew that there was something that worked sometimes, but I didn't know how to kind of capture that. So she was acting, and she didn't know how she was doing it. Her personal life changed after Pirates, as the blockbuster hit made her tabloid and paparazzi fodder. I didn't handle it well, she explained. It was a really rude awakening to the world of misogyny. Oh, God. I'd never experienced that level of hatred on a day-to-day basis. Knightley detailed how paparazzi would scream at her, calling her a whore, in order to get a reactive photo that would sell. It was big money to get pictures of women falling apart. Noting it was around the same time as Britney Spears' breakdown, Amy Winehouse's public struggles. There were times she felt worthless. I mean, I get that. We can never know what an actor or actress goes through, or anybody who's famous. I mean, look at Donald Trump, right? The man gets up in the morning, he writes something on Twitter. Heck, he can even write the nicest thing in the world, Happy Thanksgiving or something, and he gets all of these remarks saying about how he's a terrible person, you know, how he's plunging the world into darkness and these awful things. So, but I mean, it's sort of a choice, right? I guess that doesn't make it any better for the people who are doing it, but can't you just stop being famous? Is it possible to just kind of drop out or something? I don't know. You know, after a movie and you're like, man, I can't handle all this hate mail I'm getting. Can you stop reading the hate mail? I feel like you might have some degree of control over that. Well, I hope she's all right. Let's see what else we got. Banksy painting. Oh, this is a great story, guys. So there's this artist named Banksy, okay? He goes around the world, basically. Nobody knows who he is. He's totally anonymous. There are some suspicions, but nobody actually knows who he is. And he makes these paintings. Well, a Banksy painting sold for $1.4 million, okay? Well, inside of the frame of this painting, apparently, was built a shredding machine. So as soon as the painting was sold, the painting, the paper of the painting, runs itself through the frame of the machine, through this shredder. And so it's just self-destructs. I mean, is that not the greatest thing ever? So I've got all kinds of questions. I mean, it must have been a setup, right? How can it be done that perfectly? But the theory is that there was a remote control inside the machine. So as soon as the painting would sell, that it would come out. But I mean, wouldn't somebody open up the frame to authenticate the picture? Or I don't know. I mean, the chances of it happening, that's like a scheme from a movie, right? I mean, that just seems so odd to me. Nobody went, man, this frame is like super heavy for this little picture that's in here. I mean, didn't they this guy's like a graffiti artist. So whenever somebody sells a picture, they like have to pick it out of the graffiti he made and then stick it into something to sell. So I don't know. When do they get their $1.4 million back? I mean, when the auction is made, is the sale final? What if, I mean, the person never got to touch it. So now who owes the $1.4 million? I have the feeling that it was all like a scam or an urban legend. I mean, there's a YouTube, you can see it. There's photos of it. But it just seems kind of odd to me. I feel like the entire story has not been told yet. But isn't that a great one? Somebody buys a picture for $1.4 million and it just self-destructs right in front of everybody. Incredible. Michael Avenatti, who's the lawyer for Stormy Daniels, said that he was going to help out the Kavanaugh thing by bringing forth a third woman. So there was like Christine Ford, and then came another woman, Deborah Ramirez, said that Kavanaugh exposed his genitals to her while they were college students. And then Michael Avenatti had a lady, and this lady said that she had been to more than 10 house parties between 1981 and 1983 where Kavanaugh and his friend Mark Judge were present. And at some of those parties, she says that Kavanaugh was fondling, grabbing girls without their consent, spiking their drinks, and basically hosting gangbangs. So gang rapes. Now, nobody believed that at all. Republicans or Democrats, nobody believed that. And so now they're blaming Avenatti for bringing a totally unbelievable witness and basically tanking the Democrats' chances and basically making them look bad. So that's so funny because I feel like they were kind of pushing for Avenatti to actually run as a Democrat in 2020. People were like, please run, save this country. And now it looks like the Democrats are really mad at him for this. So, you know, the left is continuously turning upon itself over and over again. I mean, when you have phony outrage, you have to constantly be upset. And really, the easiest target are those closest to you, aren't they? You know, apart from the Avenatti thing, you have the progressives, the progressive Democrats who are to the left of the regular establishment Democrats. And these guys are in a war with each other, you know, I mean, a civil war, and not a civil war like our civil war, because that was not civil, but they're in a bloodless war so far with each other. And it's really interesting to watch. Oh, breaking news. Looks like Brett Kavanaugh has confirmed 50-47. The ayes have it. Here's Mike Pence with a final tally.
If not, on this vote, the ayes are 50. The nays are 48. The nomination of Brett M. Kavanaugh of Maryland to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States is confirmed. Majority Leader.
I ask consent the motion to reconsider be considered made and laid upon the table and the President be immediately notified of the Senate's action.
Without objection.
I suggest the absence of quorum.
Sergeant at Arms will restore order in the gallery.
Yeah, dude, chuck that lady out. I don't know what she said, but that's that. So Kavanaugh's on, and justice prevails, you know. Now, I'm not saying that Kavanaugh is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, I saw a couple of his of the things that he's okay with that I disagree with. I feel like he's really government heavy. I'm just saying that if you're going to kick the dude out, you ought to do it on the merits of his record, not on this garbage accusation that did not stand up in any way, shape, or form. So buy that man a beer. America has held its stuff together, and I believe that justice has prevailed. Everybody, thanks for listening to me. I'm the Ed Man. This is the How to Kill an Hour radio show. We'll be back again.